is Mark Taliano. He is the author of Voices from Syria, and you may download that book. It's a very wonderful book. I recommend that you purchase it. It's very affordable, and you may download it at globalresearch.ca. And he actually talks to people in Syria. It's a very poignantly written book, and it'll make you mad. It'll make you cry. It's just an excellent, excellent book. Okay, Mark.
Thank you. Yes.
You were talking about,
how our tax dollars are being used to deceive us.
Right.
And that includes operations which involve the engineering of crimes that create Islamophobia. And Justice Bruce ruled that, I lost the article I was reading, but she ruled that these police officers were setting this couple up. It was entrapment, and it involved 240 police officers, so it was a five-month-long operation. So it wasn't just a few cops gone bad. And I'm sure, and there's evidence that it wasn't an isolated incident either, but we probably don't want to spend too much time on that at this juncture. But what we're seeing here is that governing agencies profess to be progressive, but in fact they create to engineer the public mindset, to indoctrinate the people. They create these hatreds which help facilitate illegal wars abroad against the same terrorists that are vilified. In other words, if you recall those beheading videos from Site.
Sure.
Okay, so Site is, I think, a Zionist-type company, and they were putting all these disgusting videos out to induce hatred, and it worked. And ISIS absolutely does do disgusting things and did and will continue to do so, as will all the terrorists in Syria and elsewhere. But those are our assets, our strategic assets, our proxies. And that, so in other words, we are indoctrinated to feel hatred and to want to retribution and justice against these perpetrators, but those people who are indoctrinating us support the perpetrators, the terrorists.
Right. And it's always amazing to me that individuals who cooperate because of their occupation, because of their the position they have with the CIA or another intelligence agency, that they would go along with this. And yet, when you look at it, you think, well, they've been obedience trained. Maybe they're as brainwashed as the rest of the population.
It's incredible. I don't know if they're compartment. I don't know. Let's say these 240 Mounties, did they all know what the end result was supposed to be, or were they all working in their independent silos?
Okay.
I don't have the answer to that.
Sure. Right.
But it's an excellent question. Why aren't they questioning this? But then again, soldiers do all sorts of horrific things, and they're trained to not question it.
Sure, they're obedience trained. They're getting paid for what they do. Now, let's talk a little bit about what Syria was like before. Now, Syria has never attacked any of its neighbors. They've never made any aggressive moves against the United States. What made them a target, and what kind of a civilization, what kind of a culture did they enjoy prior to the invasion, prior to them becoming a target?
Prior to becoming a target, a lot of this is going to shock people, but I have evidence to prove all of this. Okay, the government of President Assad, and you can see, if you look him up and his wife, you'll be shocked. His wife is very, very charismatic, attractive. She was trained in the West. She's, prior to that, I think she trained in banking or financial institutions, something like that. He was elected, okay? They recently, during the war, they had an election. There were multiple candidates. He was overwhelmingly elected. The turnout was overwhelming. Refugees in neighboring Lebanon lined up for a long time to vote or to get their intention to vote. Some people were killed simply because they were going to vote. They also had more. I'll tell you this right now. He is overwhelmingly popular in that country, and increasingly outside of the country. They love him. Anyone that I talk to says he's protecting us. And that's exactly what he's doing. Now, if he did what he has been accused of doing, as in killing his own people, as in gassing his own people, as in whatever the fake amnesty report, and that's proven fake, said about Saturnalia prison, he would not have lasted for over 6 years of an extraordinarily bloody war. He'd be gone. But they love him, for the most part. I didn't meet anyone who didn't love him. But the statistics about the elections and so on indicate that. Now, there are reasons for this. I mean, Canadians don't love their... I mean, we have a very charismatic prime minister, good-looking and all that. Great front man for the corporations. A lot of people used to love him, but that is dying really quickly. But Canadians typically don't love their prime minister like anything like these people love Assad. But there's many reasons for that. They have free education, including higher education. In Canada, we don't have that. You don't have it in the States either. And that helps explain why the people that we met are extraordinarily well educated. They have free health care. We don't have that anymore. That's not happening in the States, from my understanding. It was a healthy population, highly educated. The government is secular, okay? There's a firewall between the government and religion. Thank goodness. If there wasn't, Assad would not be there. It's a non-sectarian government, and it's a non-sectarian country. Mosques and churches are literally side by side, and there is no animosity. It's a modern, progressive-looking, forward-looking government, and the people are the same for the most part. And now the next one will probably surprise people as well. Prior to the war, it was one of the safest countries in the world to visit. And now, they take care of refugees extraordinarily well, from Iraq, from Palestine, from throughout the world. They have many, many refugees. I talked to a Palestinian refugee, and he said that they're treated just like Syrians. I mean, they may not have the exact paperwork because there are reasons for that. But if they want to go back to Palestine, they need Palestinian papers or whatever. But he said, as far as getting work, as far as being a citizen, they're treated exactly the same as Syrians. So they treat the people well. They treat foreigners well. They treat refugees well. And they're in an area where they're flooded with refugees. And now Europe is being flooded with refugees, and that's all because of this illegal war. People don't choose to be refugees, as you know. And they want to come back, and they are coming back, to the dismay of imperialists who want to depopulate the country. So there's a stark contrast between the government of Syria and the people of Syria and those terrorists who are trying to destroy Syria. They're polar opposites. Those who want to destroy Syria include Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and that's what Canada and other countries want to lead that country. Wahhabi, sectarian, Al-Qaeda, ISIS-type governance, stooge government. Now, if some of your listeners were to Google President Assad and his wife, you'll get a visual of the difference, just through appearances, of the difference between a secular elected government and that which the West is trying to impose on Syria. And
now,
before
what about
the war,
their banking system? Does that have anything to do with
that? Well, yes, of course. They had. They don't rely on international banking institutions. They are not being colonized by the International Monetary Fund. They grow their own very, very healthy food. And all of this, of course, doesn't please neocons and imperialists.
Your audio seems to fade out.
I'm not sure. You're on speakerphone. Hold on a second here.
Okay. Put us back off speakerphone. Yeah, that's not good.
I don't know if that'll help, but I'll try.
Okay.
Are you there? Okay, I'm off speaker.
Okay, that's much better.
Oh, it
Thank
is?
You.
Okay, now I can hardly hear you. Let me see if I can put the volume up.
Yeah, just put the volume up. I know I'm soft-spoken.
One second, please.
Okay. Okay, so we're...
Okay, are you there?
Okay, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know if you heard that, but they have their own banking. They have their own food supply. Coalition forces were actually targeting their food supply. They have their own pharmaceutical industry. Coalition terrorists targeted their pharmaceutical industries as well as their schools and hospitals. We dealt with that. People love their government. It was one of the safest countries in the world to visit prior to the non-sectarian government. The secular government, highly educated population, free education, free health care. In other words...
Everybody should want to live there. Well, not now, but certainly before.
Oh, Syrians want to live there. They don't want to leave. When there's terrorists there, they don't want to stay, although many do stay, but terrorists or refugees want to come back. And that's a good thing. But the reasons that I just stated are among the reasons why that country is a target. Because the biotech industry wants to move in, just like they're moving into Ukraine. They want to loot the breadbasket of Europe with their biotech foods. They want their private banking to move in. They want to destroy the country and privatize the national industries out there at a low price. They want a stooge government. They do not want democracy. That's a nightmare for imperialist democracy. They don't want that. All they want is a stooge dictator. So you can see why. And there's the issue of pipelines. And there's also the issue of PNAC and the agenda to literally dominate the globe. The PNAC or the neocon agenda to full spectrum dominance, which is a form of totalitarianism.
Sure.
And they want to dictate from above for the benefit of transnational oligarch class. But democracies, democratic countries that are sovereign, that insist on territorial integrity, that provide for their people and for the uplift of their populations, they resist. They're resisting. The axis of resistance is resisting these imperialists, and they're paying a heavy, heavy, heavy price for it.
Sure. Now, your book lists all the problems. What are some of the solutions? What does the United States Peace Council suggest?
Well, the United States Peace Council they went there and they saw that what they were being told was not true. And this is what the United States Peace Council says. We call on all activists in the peace movement to flood the emails and phone lines of the White House and the State Department, and I would include Canadian politicians in this for our Canadian listeners, and demand the following. Stop all foreign efforts to force regime change in Syria. Stop bombing Syrian economic infrastructure in the name of fighting ISIS. Stop injecting foreign fighters into Syria. Stop funding, organizing, and arming the combatants in Syria. Number two. That would be one, and then ABC. Number two. Let the Syrians themselves decide the future of their country free of all foreign intervention. That means allow all truly moderate internal opposition groups and Kurdish organizations to participate in the negotiations. Exclude no segment of the Syrian population from peace negotiations. Exclude all foreign opposition forces as well as all terrorist organizations from the negotiations. Number three, and this is a big one, lift all sanctions on Syria. Provide humanitarian aid to the Syrian people. Help the Syrian refugees settle wherever they want, including back in Syria. And number four, end all wars of aggression, all forms of foreign occupation, and all externally generated regime change policies in the region. Now, those are pretty reasonable demands, and they fall in line with the rule of international law as well. So if people in Canada and the United States were to contact their political representatives with that list, I think we could engineer at least a bit of a shift.
Now, when you're talking about politicians, yes. Aren't some of those politicians somewhat, they have some things to hide, and they have been really, take for instance, Dennis Hastert.
I'm sorry, take for instance who?
Dennis Hastert. He's a politician. He used to be in the Senate, and he's been in quite a lot of trouble lately. He went to prison and whatnot. People are they entrap them. The U.S. government and its operatives entrap the politicians so that they're kind of obligated to go along with what the government wants.
Yes. Yes. I won't disagree with that, but I think that I don't know the extent of that, and I know a lot of politicians have to follow the party line. And I know that I'm aware of this, right? I don't watch television, and I don't enjoy listening to politicians because they aren't telling the truth. But if enough of us were to contact politicians with these very reasonable points, it might start to make a shift, possibly.
Sure. You mentioned in your book that Russia is helping Syria.
Yes. Well, they are. Right before the Russians entered the scene, when it was strictly the Washington and allies, ISIS territory.
We're going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back. We'll pick this up on the other side.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
First half of the program is Mark Taliano. He is the author of Voices from Syria. You may download that book at globalresearch.ca. And anyway, we were mentioning, we're talking about, what were we talking about?
Russia.
Oh my gosh, Russia. Okay, I was reading an email during the break from a friend in Russia, but go ahead and tell us about Russia. And there,
well, before, if it weren't for Russia, quite possibly Syria would be Libya right now. The same situation, terrorist infested and destroyed. Before Russia came on the scene, when it was just the Washington coalition, ISIS territory was growing, which is understandable because of what we've discussed earlier, their proxies.
Sure.
Syrians, the Russians saved many Syrian lives. I could read you a little excerpt from the book, but I think we're running out of time.
We are. Just a few things about Russia. I had a conversation with some people just recently in the last month about Russia on the program, and I do have a friend in Russia, and he said. Let's see, I want to just, when will people finally see that the agenda unfolding itself in Russia is exactly the same as the one you see in the West? The usurious banking system that creates money out of nothing and charges interest on it, the commercial nature of all spheres of life whereby you have to pay for everything, taxes, utilities, everything, the multiculturalism and genocide of the white race, the destruction of the independent farmer, the pervasiveness of the state, even admitted that, in all spheres of life, the laws prohibiting historical revisionism of World War II and the so-called Holocaust, you name it, we have it here. The only thing I don't see here are the chemtrails, but that's just where he lives, and cannot be sure for the other regions of Russia. And then he goes on to say, I want to take some of this stuff out. So I think you need to tell the people that it doesn't matter what Putin says. What matters is the agenda unfolding itself in Russia, which is the same as anywhere else. It is hard to see it, I know, and you have to be awake to be able to see it. But it is there nonetheless. And he said he had to laugh when one of the guests said that the Russians are smart because they launched rockets into space and this and that. No, all these fancy technologies were either sold to the Soviet Union, as was shown by Anthony Sutton, or handed over free of charge, as in the case of Lend-Lease, as was demonstrated by Major Jordan's diaries, or simply stolen. The only technology that the Russians invented was how to distill vodka, and I'm not sure even about that. Russia is a land of slaves and serfs and brainwashed zombies who still believe that they defeated the evil fascists during World War II. This has always been the case. Now, he's Russian, and he says he's ashamed about his people and his country. I do not know anyone around me who is awake. Anyone. I really feel totally alone. Frankly, I feel that we are really doomed. And he says, by the way, we've just had Henry Kissinger again as a guest of Putin here for the umpteenth time. They do not even hide it. So confident they are of themselves. So.
Well, that would require a long response, but it's, it's not communist anymore. There are communist parties, but there was a lot of pillaging going on after the Soviet Union was broken up. And, hyper-capitalism, to what degree is infesting the area? I think that I've never been to Russia, but I respect his leadership. We don't have much time, but it's true that Germany, going back in history, under Stalin, the Soviets, the Russian people, they played a huge role in breaking the Weimar's back, more so than other countries. A huge role, and they suffered hugely. I think that a lot of what your friend said, there's truth to that.
Sure. Well, Mark, it's been delightful having you on the program.
Yes, I'm very appreciative that you had me on. It was enlightening. And I will be picking up your books as well.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much.
All righty, we'll be back. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman App at appsapart.com. That's APPSAPART.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest, the last half of the program today, is Miriam Al-Fatah. And the website hello. That you will want, that, pardon me?
No, I just said hello, that's all.
Oh, okay. And the website that you will want to visit is Libya Against SuperpowerMedia.org. Al-Fatah was born in Tripoli on November 1st. Well, we don't want to tell your age. Her father is a Libyan businessman. Her mother is a foreigner. She studied in Tripoli at the private school called Tripoli College until 1971. Then she went to the American Oil Company School from 1971 through 1972. Then she left for England to a boarding school from September of 72 through the summer of 1976. After that, she went to the College of Economics and studied economics and management. She had a successful career in Libya and Europe, but retired when the illegal war in Libya started in February 2011. When she offered her services to the Secret Service of Libya, the Gaddafi government, and then after Libya lost, she went underground with the Green Resistance and worked closely with the tribes who are against the establishment of democracy, so-called democracy, through colonization. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm just really, it's just a heartbreaking thing to think about what has happened to your country, and what was the country like prior to this horrid war, this illegal, horrible war that destroyed so much of what Gaddafi built?
Well, Libya, prior to the illegal war, because it was illegal, was a very beautiful country. And in 2008, the Jamahiriya Gaddafi, as a president, decided to turn around Libya as the second Dubai in the African nation. We had practically all over Libya 24/7 buildings rising, new streets coming up and everything. There was a lot of discussions of tourism, where they would be staying. And of course, you know that in Libya, alcohol was not permitted. They were going to do the same as in Dubai, where there are places where foreigners could drink and everything. Security-wise was fantastic. We came a long way from 1969, when I was 10 years old. Women, I used to call the women, the Libyan women, as white ghosts, because they were wearing this white sheet, as we call it, the perecano, which they would cover the whole face, and they would leave just one eye that they could see when they would walk out. So when I was a kid, I used to call them like ghosts or an owl. Didn't like it being covered all over the whole body. Women weren't allowed to go to school. They were married as soon as they could be women, after the age of 14, 15. And their lives would be, they were born, that is the first time they would go out from the hospital. They would grow at home, and then at the age of 14, 15, they would be married off. That's the second time they would get out of their house. And the third time would be at their death. So from 1969 and onwards, things changed, not immediately, but they changed gradually. And by the, I think, 1973-74, women were emancipated. They could travel alone, which was before forbidden. They had to be escorted with their fathers or brother or uncle or a male from the family anyway. Then women were able to study, to go to universities. They could live alone. They could buy land. Gaddafi also applied a law that women were not eligible to marry before they turned 18. In case the family decided that she would have to marry somebody so-and-so into a forced marriage, she could go to the police, and things would go the way the girl would want. So practically from 1969 till 2011, women had become they had taken a very good role and a very strong role in the Libyan society compared to prior to 69.
And what caused this change, this alteration in culture? What brought about the change in the culture? Was it Gaddafi? What provoked this?
Well, Gaddafi adored his mom very much, and I am sure that his mother, his wife, and his daughter had something to do with it. He was a genius politically, and he was a genius in the way he was thinking. I mean, he was no ordinary person. If you would sit down and discuss with him, he could read your mind even before you would utter the first few words. It was airy when you would be around him. That is a fact. I've heard it from many people. I have met him privately, and I was very young at the time. I was about my early 20s. At that time, he would travel with an old Volkswagen, the Herbie style. I don't know how they're called in the United States, but I remember the film from Hollywood, the car Herbie. When I met him for the first time, he flirted with me, and I said, "Aren't you the leader of the country?" He said, "No, no, I am his brother. I'm his twin brother." So I sort of said, "Okay, fine, let it slip, and I won't discuss it." But because my parents were very strict, I avoided later on any contacts. I wasn't sure at the time if it was him or not. I had no reason not to believe that it wasn't his twin brother, because Gaddafi history was not very well known in the Libyan society, or at least in my circle, let's put it this way. So I wasn't sure if it was his twin brother or his cousin or he himself. I had no idea. But later on, looking back, I think it was him, but he was just pulling my leg not to realize who he was and maybe gush over him, or God knows what he would have thought. And of course, me being 18, 19 years old at that time, I don't think I had any... I wasn't thinking of marriage, and I wasn't thinking of doing anything at that time anyway. I was just going for a good swim, because we do have very nice beaches in Libya.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that your mother is a foreigner.
Yes.
Did that have any effect or influence on the way that you were raised? I'm sure it did.
It did, because my mom, she comes from a family, her family was executed on a civil war, and she was only 3 years old at the time. So, of course, there were a lot of things that she did teach me. But I remember, since I was very, very young, she would talk to me like I was her age. So she would discuss about Vietnam at the age of three, when I was three. She would discuss, yes, I mean, she would have discussions with me. I don't know if everything sunk in or I understood everything, but I'm sure something stuck with it. That is one side. She was and she is a revolutionary person. But another person who taught me to fight for what I believe is my grandmother on my father's side. She is a Barfali tribe. She was the daughter of a leader triber. I lost her in 2002. But she was a fighter. She was a fighter, and she wouldn't take any nonsense from no one. She was so tough, and one time she saw me crying for some reason or the other, something was going crazy around my house. And she turned around to me and she said, "Listen, I don't want to see you ever cry." And I said, "Why not?" "That shows weakness."
"Ah.
You are not weak. You are strong, and you are strong like a horse.
Oh. So
don't you dare cry ever again." So since then, I don't cry. Things in Libya were very good. Actually, by 2010, I was saying these, you know, when you have a nice spell for a long time, you sort of wonder what's going to happen. You know, when you're waiting for this other shoe to drop down.
Mm-hmm.
And I sensed there was something wrong, but I couldn't pinpoint my finger on it. when the Arab Spring started, I was sort of worried. But I knew that the Secret Service of Libya and the government in general, they had a strong hand. They knew what was going on. So I wasn't so worried that things could go wrong in Libya. I didn't expect that people on his side would betray him. And they didn't betray him personally because he's just a man. He was a president, yes. He ruled, yes, but he ruled till one point. After that, it was the government who was ruling. He was just a figure. And what's still moving, if Libya is still working, let's put it this way, if it is still working, not completely, it's working because the public service under him, for 40 years, they still know how to maneuver things. But the betrayal was from the people, and it was from Benghazi, not from Tripoli. I don't know what the West, America, England, and France promised to Jalil, who was the one who betrayed him. He was a minister, minister of justice. I don't know what they promised him. I really don't know. I have no idea what they promised to these people to betray the Libyans. Let's forget that they betrayed Gaddafi or they betrayed the Jamahiriya. Let's put it this way. They betrayed their own country. Because we had everything. And when I say everything, everything. Practically rent-free houses. New couples, they would get a loan, an interest-free loan. They would be given an amount about $50,000 for a down payment, which they'd never had to pay back. Cars were tax-free. Everything you needed was available.
And isn't that because of the resources of the country itself and that Gaddafi thought that the people who lived in the country should benefit from the resources and not the international oil companies?
There are many reasons. There is the gold-backed dinar. There is the oil resources. There is the uranium resources. There is the gold resources, silver, you name it, we have it. The main thing was that if we use the gold dinar, which would affect also the rest of the African nations, because you know Nigeria has oil, and of course you wanted gold-backed dinar compared to the petrodollar, which is just a paper note. It has no credibility anymore. Not now. It didn't have even in 10 years ago. Actually, America is so bankrupt that... how can you say it? There is a saying, I think, he's dead, but he doesn't know it.
Right.
That's how bankrupt America is.
Right.
And not only America, but also some other nations. But as we're talking now that you're in Chicago, the thing is, putting the golden-backed dinar would have caused a whole lot of problems for the West. First of all, there were the petrodollar and the... neocons and Israel and all these who their interest is on the petrodollar, that means it would go into flames. Getting now African nations becoming independent and out of the claws of France, that was also another no-no for the West. AFRICOM, we were a thorn for AFRICOM. So things were quite heated on the gold dinar, on the water. We have water. Man-made river.
Right.
Which we built it on our own. Actually, we had an assistance from Canada by the engineers and everything. But we paid it from our resources. We didn't take any loans. The United Nations had they have given us medals and God knows what other things they have given about this resource that Gaddafi and, of course, that belonged to Libya. Now, imagine this, that the water that we have, the lake that we have, can assist Africa and the whole Europe for 100 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So the water was also another reason, which NATO, by the way, in case your listeners don't know, bombed all the pipes and the factory that they would do these pipes so that they would install them again.
Marin, we do have to take a real quick break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Be right back.
Okay. Bye.
Medicals Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains xanthine and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea, and it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com. or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna.
Yes.
And
yes.
Our guest for the last half of the program is Maryam Al-Fatah. And the website that you will want to visit is Libya Against SuperpowerMedia.org. All right. You were talking about the water. And, of course, the Middle East water is it's essential everywhere, but particularly there. And the water system that was built, that was engineered, and you say that NATO destroyed it, it just makes me sick. It just makes me sick.
They did a lot more than what you think, and a lot more than it has been printed on the news or said on the news radios. The plan was that as soon as the whole of Libya would have got water, because at the time, I think 85% of Libya had water, drinking water, normal in their homes. And we needed another 1 year to finish so that the whole supply would be all over Libya. Then we would be supplying some states from Africa. Plus, we would make the Sahara Desert a farm.
Which, oh, of course, my gosh.
That this would cause a havoc to the West. We would stop importing a lot of things.
Especially
for foodstuff, which was one of the biggest importers in Libya at the time.
But think about the starvation that we see on in the media in Africa. That would have been eradicated.
Not only that, Dana. You see, Europe has made it. The EU, the United States, all these groups that they decided to make groups of themselves, they have decided, and especially the EU, because I do live also in Europe. What did they? When you enter the EU, you produce orange, apples, what have you? Okay, not produce them anymore. Or if you produce, you will produce 1 ton. The rest you have to bury it. But why bury it? We could give it to the African nations. Nope, you have to bury it.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, people should wake up to understand that our governments, whether they're in Europe, whether in the States, whether it's in Canada, Latin America, wherever, where the interest, when the big capital, my views is not being a capitalist or a communist or whatever, is being a free person, free thinking. And everybody has to have the same abilities as I do. And if they don't, if I can assist them to be the same as me, that is fine. But I cannot understand business interests not allowing the food that we throw out not to be given either to the homeless or to the poor people.
Right. Okay, we are at the top of the hour. We will be right back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned. Be right back.
Accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.